Age of Transitions.
You're listening to the Age of Transitions. I'm your host, Aaron Franz, coming at you live this Friday night, July 1st, 2022. Live from the facilities of Ocelli.com every Friday night, 10 p.m. to midnight. First hour, Age of Transition. Second hour, Uncle the Broadcast. Thank you for listening live. You may call in tonight if you want. Call in numbers 319-527-5016. You can also come on the show through Skype. If you do that, send producer Chuck a message. So type him a message on Skype. He is at charles.ocelli. Send a message, he'll bring you on. Or call 319-527-5016. Thank you for supporting the Ocelli Radio Network, for supporting the Age of Transitions. My website is theageoftransitions.com. Lots of ways to support there. We have the t-shirts available. Again, if you get the Ocelli Effect shirt, that supports Chuck and the network. The other two ones go my way. The Age of Transitions shirt, the Uncle of the Podcast shirt, have Revolve Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood. That is available in ebook or paperback formats. Thank you, everybody, for continuing to buy those. Have the Patreon campaign. I will be making a new one, I promise, soon. It's been a while on the Patreon, but I'm going to record hopefully a few episodes. I nearly did last night, but I was having some technical issues. But we'll have some new ones there for everybody who signs up to support on Patreon for $3 or more a month, and have some affiliate links. We've got Libsyn. If you're wanting to start your own podcast, I do recommend Libsyn as a podcast. It hosts your files for you, so it just makes life easier. And you don't have to goof around with the RSS. It helps you set things up on different podcatchers. It just makes life easy. So it's worth paying the monthly fee. And if you sign up with my coupon code, I believe you get 2 months free. So check that out. So there's that, and there's the bookshop.org affiliate links. If you're buying books online, do it through the link on the ageoftransitions.com. Take you to bookshop.org, and hopefully you can find what you're looking for there. And it's a good place to buy them, and you'll be helping me and the website in the process. So thank you, everybody, for your support, continued support, continued listenership. And honestly, just sharing the show around, telling people about it, and even recommending that different possible people that you think would make good guests, be like, hey, why don't you go on the Age of Transition show? The things you talk about would fit in there. And that helps. So I need all the help I can get when it comes to that. So thank you, those of you who have done that. I know quite a few have, so thank you. Again, live show, if you want to call in, please do so. 319-527-5016 or message Chuck on Skype, Charles Adocelli. At the top of the show here, I did want take a moment to remember Joshua Brookshire, who called into the show a few times over the years. He was in the band Speakin' Eye, and sadly he passed on the 21st of June. So I learned about it through social media, actually. His brother had posted that on Instagram. I saw a post, and it surprised me. And so I just want to, pay my respects and note his passing here on the show. And I did not know Joshua well, but again, he called in a few times, and every time he called, he was it was good to talk to him. And I could just tell that he was a good person. He was living the artist's life, to be sure. He from what I gathered, he lived his life for his music. And yeah, just an artist guy that was definitely had a passion for what he did, and so that I can relate to and respect. And again, he was always really cool when he called in. It was good to hear from him every time he did. So just condolences to his family and paying my respects here for what that's worth. And so, yeah, here we are on Age of Transitions, Friday night. I did post a couple of, or I'm always retweeting things on Twitter about different news stories that I think are relevant to the things that I talk about on this show. And one thing that is always fascinating to me is automation, autonomous vehicles, autonomous systems of all kinds, really. When it, as it's relevant to the economy at large, but especially like, there's a special place in my heart for logistics. So anytime like the logistics supply chain, stuff is affected by this, it makes me look, and I do try to follow it a little bit. I don't follow it as closely as I could, but, there was a story, I'll read a little bit from this. This is from ZDNet.com, posted June 29th. Title is Autonomous Freight Truck Due to Hit U.S. Roads. Amid labor shortages, autonomous trucking is coming to U.S. public roads. This is written by Greg Nichols. So let's see here. I'll just read at least a few paragraphs from this. A freight technology company has received federal approval to operate an autonomous electric big rig on public roads. Einride, maybe based out of Germany or something. Anyway, Einride received the allowances from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, marking the first time a purpose-built autonomous electric truck without a driver on board has been approved to operate on public roads in the U.S. The news comes as persistent supply chain issues, a tight labor market, and chronic understaffing in global freight and shipping are advancing the case for commercial automation. Quote, this is a type of vehicle that has never before been seen on U.S. roads and marks a major milestone as a turning point for the future of the freight industry, says Robert Falk, CEO and founder of Einride. We know the autonomous and electric technology of our pod will not only revolutionize transportation, but also create thousands of jobs and help America stay competitive. So it goes on. It's six wheels, all electric, compatible with shipping containers. The permit for a public road pilot in partnership with General Electric Appliances will support operational flows showcasing the purpose built functionality, blah, blah, blah. Let's see here. Okay, Einride has already racked up an international first, becoming the first developer to have a fully autonomous electric vehicle on a public road in Sweden in 2019. And the first to operate autonomous electric vehicles on U.S. soil through its partnership with GE Appliances last year. Okay, it looks like, I don't know if I see where they're located out of, but they're partnering with GE here in the States to do what they're doing. So let's see. Yeah, I mean, pretty much speaks for itself. It's on an autonomous big rig, right? Approved to actually hit the roads, which is a big deal. The Einride GEA road pilot will take place in quarter three of 2022. So yeah, it's coming up. So just getting the permits in order, so to speak, is not easy. Definitely one of the difficult hurdles to jump through for these sorts of companies in these early days of autonomous vehicles. And sure, I mean, we know that we're going to see more and more of these things. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine that commercial fleets just won't be fully autonomous and not have drivers really at all. I mean, not drivers, at least. Maybe you'll have somebody on board to help, like, do certain things like unload, load, unload, perhaps. I mean, but you could have autonomous machines that do that as well. So, again, logistics, supply chain, things like that. It's hard to imagine a lot of different things in that sector just not being automated. And I know that there's this really, I believe he's a Canadian guy. He's like a billionaire now. And he inherited, I think, or he had some family business that he took the helm of and then made the business even bigger. And the business somehow had its own like warehouses, distribution centers, I think. And he went about automating those. And so I don't know if it became its own business, the automation thing. I think he made that into a separate business and started making massive amounts of money on that, but also developing a lot of interesting autonomous systems for the sort of like DCs and things like that. I don't have anything pulled up on that guy now, and I don't remember his name, but that's a fascinating story there. But yeah, I mean, just bit by bit. And also with not just the commercial fleets. Well, I've mentioned this on the show before, but it deserves to be mentioned again. A couple years back, the CEO of Ford, which, I don't know that guy's name either, but he's the CEO of Ford Motors. He made waves when at this big conference he said, yeah, Ford is moving to just making vehicles that are commercial fleet vehicles, and then consumer vehicles we're not even going to do anymore. And again, that's a paraphrase. I don't know if exactly what he said, but he said something to that effect. Like, yeah, consumer vehicles, whatever. We're focusing on fleets. We're going to build vehicles for fleets. And that really made me go, that my ears perked up immediately when I heard that. I'm like, aha, of course, because that fits in with the way I see things panning out here. And I'm not going to get into how much of this is like part of a plan or if it's just part of these guys reading the writing on the wall or what's going on. I'm not getting into that right now. But clearly, I think the idea with motor vehicles, I don't know about the electrics versus like ICE. It looks like things are going electric. I don't know if there's going to be an alternative even to like electric as we know it with the batteries and all that, because if you're talking about there's problems with the batteries and all that as well, as we likely know, or as we know. But So what vehicles, like the whole motorized vehicles, I think it is that fleet idea that the Ford CEO is talking about. That's the future, where the individual owner, there aren't meant to be individual owners anymore. And economically and even socially, you can kind of see how what's been happening the past few years is leading us down that road. And nobody really ever seems to talk about, like, yeah, you know, the future is none of us are owning vehicles anymore, right? One reason why that may be the case is economically nobody can afford it anymore. And, you know, during COVID, the price of consumer vehicles just skyrocketed. The used car market became absolutely insane, and it still is. It's ludicrous. The valuations of used cars is insane. And the average person can't afford that. Can't even afford to buy a used car anymore. Let alone new ones. And then new ones have all these problems with supply chains, blah, 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 blah. But of course, prices on them are going up too. And now we have the gas problem. So gas is ludicrously expensive, and it's hard to say if that price is ever going to come down, whether it will or not, and inflation. So just the economic factors are clear and present. But there's also like the social thing too, and like, you know, the environmental impact. And is it really a good thing for individual people to have their own cars? And, you know, you could go, you know, you could go off on a tangent with that too. It's like, well, is it ethical for individual people to own a car? And you could argue that it isn't. I'm not here doing that. But I think you catch my drift, and also in the name of sustainability and cutting waste. And then you've got all the rideshare companies and the Ubers and the Lyfts and all that sort of stuff. I mean, that's sort of also a precursor to, and younger people are choosing not to own vehicles more so than older generations because it's such a big expense, and because they're also used to using these rideshare things and whatnot. It's like, well, why? I don't need one, so I won't have one because it's a massive expense that I can't afford. But honestly, even if they could afford it, they might not anyway. And there are certain people that are like that too, that could afford it but don't. So autonomous vehicles, I think, are going to be rolled out in a time where people aren't really even owning vehicles anymore for a large combination of reasons that seem to be, we're building up to that all the time. And again, nobody ever frames it like this, and I don't know why, because it just seems like all signs are pointing in that direction. It's like, yeah, do you not see how these different trends converge and where they're pointing us to? It's the fleet vehicle society where, yeah, there'll be public and private fleets. Like Uber could have a massive fleet of autonomous vehicles. They don't have to pay drivers anymore. You know, it's, they just have to pay for their vehicles and the maintenance on their vehicles, and that's it. Like that's, and then, you know, whatever other expenses, but, you know, that they're not having to do the payroll thing and all the complications are involved in that. And, you know, they had that, they're always, it's controversial, you know, the way that they pay the drivers and, you know, all that. They don't have to deal with that anymore. They just have autonomous vehicles. So that's like the private side. And of course, you know, logistics companies have own their fleet of autonomous big rigs, like this Einride thing, the whatever evolves out of that, you know. That's obvious how that could work. And there could be just companies dedicated to, you know, transportation companies that are contracted out by these other massive corporations that need transportation companies to ship their products around, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's all autonomous. It's all fleets. That's the private side. The public side is that, you know, public transportation autonomous. And you could even have not just like autonomous buses, but you could have a public version of a like a an Uber. You know, you can have the public version of that where like maybe a city has some sort of taxi service where the city owns a fleet of these autonomous vehicles, and you know, you do the rideshare thing, but you do it through the city instead of through Uber or whatever. I don't know. Not really that. I don't know. I just don't see how all that doesn't end up happening. And possibly soon. I don't know how long it'll take, but I don't see how it won't happen. That's just a continuing story that I like to follow there. So that was an interesting piece of news. And then also, let me see if I can get this link to this article to work. Maybe. Oh, I did. Good for me. Okay, so this is about TikTok, everybody's favorite social media app. Oh, it's all the rage with the kids, and I'm proud that I've not used it up to this point. It always takes me forever to use any app anyway, so it hasn't been 10 years since it's been out, so I haven't used it yet. But here we go. Now, let me just give out the call-in number. If you do want to call in, 319-527-5016. You may call in tonight. Love to hear from you. But also, charles.ocelli on Skype. Send, type him a message. He'll bring you on. Okay, so anyway. What is going on with TikTok? Well, if you didn't know, it's dangerous. We knew that from Donald Trump, but guess what? The current presidential administration also... same fears about the about this app. So this is pretty interesting here. Okay, so this is at mediaite.com, which I find a very annoying kind of name. But I get what they're trying to do, but I'm kind of annoyed by that name. But Mediaite, Biden's FCC demands sophisticated surveillance tool, TikTok be ripped from app stores. This is by Zachary Lehman, June 29th. Okay. The government's battle against TikTok did not leave with Donald Trump, as Federal Communications Commissioner Brendan Carr released a letter asking the app be removed from stores by Google and Apple immediately. Carr called TikTok a sophisticated surveillance tool in the letter and claimed it presents a national security threat. TikTok is not what it appears to be on the surface, Carr wrote in the letter, which he tweeted out this week. It is not just an app for sharing funny videos or memes. That's the sheep's clothing. Carr addressed his concerns to Apple CEO Tim Apple. No, Tim Cook. And Google CEO Sundar Pichai. TikTok has responded to criticisms that user data is accessed by their parent company in Beijing, by claiming that they have put security tools in place to house data within the U.S. Carr refutes this claim and says new reports show user data is still accessed in China. It harvests swaths of sensitive data that new reports show are being accessed in Beijing, he tweeted. Tweeted, blah, blah. Another wonderful social media site, no problems there. I've called on Apple and Google to remove TikTok from their app stores for its pattern of surreptitious data practices. Okay, so there, I mean, that's it. That's the gist of it here. So the Federal Communications Commissioner is coming out and saying, hey, yeah, TikTok, national security threat. Google, Apple, take it down now. And yeah, I remember when... Trump was doing the same thing. He's like, yeah, we got to get rid of TikTok. We got to pull it down. It's a threat, China. And at the time, it was framed in a partisan sort of way where, you know, the liberal side of the equation was kind of taking another shot at Trump. Like, oh, yeah, Trump just hates China. And, you know, he's a... the typical thing. So they're saying, like, yeah, this is Trump being Trump again. And basically, they're trying to make it seem like there's nothing to it. But now, you know, the opposite side here with Biden at the wheel, you've got the FCC saying the exact same things that Trump was actually saying. And I'm of course, in no way trying to, you know, say that Trump is good, but clearly the American establishment sees this as an actual threat. And I'm not saying it's unfounded that they do. I think what they're saying is must be legitimate, that yes, this this social media app is a tool of surveillance, as all other social media apps are used, but it is a app that's based out of foreign country, which happens to be China. China, of course, at present is the adversary of our nation. So China and the United States are definitely adversarial at this point in time. And it's hard to get that statement just flat out in stories like these. But I mean, clearly we see it time and again that that's the case. And I get it. Nobody wants to come and call China our enemy, because that would be a problem. So they're not doing that, but they're saying, hey, look, this silly video app that kids use on their phones all the time, it's actually a sophisticated intelligence gathering tool of a foreign government, and we have to get rid of it. National security risk. Sorry, we got to get rid of it. Those drones that people use to get video footage of popular drones, we got to get rid of those, because guess what? Same thing. Security, intelligence gathering tools, national security threat. If people use these drones on American soil, because the data goes to China, which is another nation. You know, they're just gathering intel on us, and we're not saying they're bad, but we don't want them to be doing that. And yeah, okay. Anyway, of course, it's horrible that all these things gather data on us. I mean, one side of these stories is always annoying, because they don't point out the national brands of the different social media ones based here out of the U.S. and, you know, always the Bay Area, Silicon Valley. They're almost always from up there. And they're doing, they're gathering data too, and using it as a surveillance tool, and selling data and making their money on that, and selling it to the highest bidders. And certainly the data can be used by, and is used by, our down to our local governments against the citizenry for all sorts of different purposes. So that too is a problem, and it's not like TikTok is the only surveillance social media app, but certainly it does bring up this international aspect, and so it's definitely fascinating to see that, and to see just how more and more the whole digital security thing does continue to heat up. Cybersecurity, all the time, more and more important. And to the point where these sorts of things did not used to happen, where apps were forced to be taken off of app stores by federal departments, you know, the FCC here. Of course, social media falling under the purview of communications, so FCC is the relevant agency in this case. But I mean that is significant, that these things are happening, something so seemingly inane, innocuous, and like, oh, that's what the kids have fun on. It's like, well, yeah, and that's the problem, right? And all these new intelligence gathering tools that are available in the digital world, the digitized world. It's just, I mean, everything is tracked. Everything is recorded. Absolutely everything we do now, because everything's hooked up. Everything's a piece of data. And so this is the world we live in. And, yeah, I don't know. I just try not to have anxiety all the time over it. I try to not think about it too much, but I don't know. The other part of me is like, well, maybe I don't think about it enough. And there's no way out of it at this point. This is the world that we all live in now. We've been forced into, and we don't have really anywhere to go at this point. And so things are changing awfully quickly. And you can tell the different directions, again, that things are going. With the supply chain stuff and autonomous vehicles, I think the future is fairly clear for anybody who's paying attention at all, and who isn't deluding themselves, can see how that's shaping up. And then national security wise, I think we can see that, I mean, we have real antagonisms, like East and West, even with Russia and China being all but labeled enemies of our, of this state, you know, like being labeled as all out enemies. Certainly adversarial, as we were saying, without a doubt. They're portrayed as adversaries more often than not when you're reading a story about either one of them. And so often it's in the digital sense, the digital national security sense. I mean, we've been hearing the national security threats from Russia. We've been hearing about that for quite a few years now, with the Russian bots, the cyber attacks, the cyber espionage, hacking coming from Russia aimed at the U.S. and, you know, the stolen election the elections tampered with by Russia, Russia meddling, all that. So that we've heard about for quite some time. And more China's different projects, which usually involve consumer level software or hardware of some kind. Again, the drones, the TikTok app, things like that. Because I mean, it makes sense. We so many Chinese products here, some of them digital, and so yeah, so it is that some of them are being labeled as real risks. There it is. This will be an interesting story to follow to see if the app is taken down, because I don't believe it hasn't yet. But if they take it down, I mean, that's going to be significant. That's a big move right there to do. So, on the other side of this same story, I know that China has pretty aggressively tried to keep U.S. technology companies, keep them from out of their national economy, because Google did make an attempt to have a Google China. They did have one. They had a whole big center there at Google China, and that Kai-Fu Lee guy who wrote the book AI Superpowers, he was, I think, in charge of it. He definitely worked there. I think he was at the head of it. And he and in that book, he describes a little bit of the Google China thing and how they just couldn't, they basically got shut down by the Chinese government. And they did not want Silicon Valley trying to, you know, sink their teeth into their economy. And I believe that the very same, like, security risks, intelligence problems were cited by the Chinese government letting Google in there. And again, I mean, it makes sense. You can't really fault them for that. It's you can't really fault China for doing that. You can't really fault the U.S. for doing this thing with TikTok. I mean, it's just crazy. It's crazy to see this, and it's definitely another signpost if anybody's paying attention to what to expect in the future. And again, I don't know what's coming, but I just do. One thing you can be sure of is that the digital space, and virtual spaces, digital spaces, are becoming more and more prevalent, more and more ubiquitous, more and more important, more valuable. And so it is that they're becoming true battlegrounds. And you get the military side of this. Even military hardware and you know, old style traditional style military hardware, like battleships, planes, tanks, things like this, very much affected by this realm of cyber, in that they're all linked up to, and also they have within them all these electronic systems. So now there's that whole realm for potential target of attack is the electronic system itself, not necessarily the armor of the tank, but you do something to disrupt the tank electronically, or even potentially, take over the tank, right? Like in terms of autonomous systems, like, yeah, it was autonomous working for the United States. What if we take control of it and then we reprogram it or make it do what we want it to do? And, maybe we just have it blow itself up because, we're get rid of that U.S. tank there, or, have it fire on its own, friendly fire sort of thing. So all that sort of stuff becoming, I'm sure behind the scenes at the Pentagon, there's talk of all this, and it's a concern. It had ought to be, I'm sure that it is. And you do see them talk about this in public documents. And really, you can learn pretty much all you need to from public documents. And that's been basically the case throughout the Cold War, when it came to the actual development of nuclear technology. All of that stuff was basically public. Like what was happening in either the Soviet Union or the United States, those advances could be learned by the opposite side just by reading like research papers and things like that. There wasn't a whole lot in terms of the actual scientific breakthroughs that wasn't known, that you couldn't learn publicly. And that's not really a well-known thing, but it's more about like this concept of, oh yeah, there's all these secrets, like there's these trade secrets, when really there aren't. So when it comes to Cold Wars, historically, that's kind of been the case. And I think now more than ever, if you want to learn something, if you want to gather a piece of information, if it's about some technology or anything really scientific, you can learn it. You just find it. And even stuff that's hidden, hacking is becoming more and more prevalent and things like this. And I don't know, there's just a lot going on. No one can keep up with it. Nothing is safe. And so I don't know. I don't know. There's not much we can do about it except just move forward. We built this, who built this world? That's a philosophical question that's not easy to answer, actually. That's one of those questions that we want to be an easy one to answer, but it just isn't. So I won't go about trying to answer that now. I don't know who built all this, but here it is, and we're living in it. And it's just the way things are, as they say. So yeah, those were the interesting stories that popped out to me. Let's see, I'm trying to think what else. Live on Friday, it was it's got this holiday weekend here. It's the 4th of July. That will be interesting to see how people celebrate the holiday, which is a very much a national holiday. It should be interesting to see different ways that people decide to celebrate this particular holiday, which marks the I want to say the birth of our nation, but then that when you say birth of the nation, to me it harkens back to what It was a D.W. Griffith classic film that's classic racist film that's maybe that's apropos because all of the action in the sphere of the culture wars, which are never ending culture war, which is an interesting point there. When it comes to the culture war, what I'd like to see, and I don't remember coming across a whole lot of this, but you take that same national security threat concept and the idea that foreign nations are tampering with, well, you know, you had the idea that Russia tampered with our election process, right? Well, if they want to tamper with things further here and really do damage to us culturally, it's the Russian bot culture war thing, and certainly that has been pointed out a bit, but just the extent to which that is may actually be happening, again, that's something that no one can measure. It's impossible to say, but clearly it's happening, that all sorts of different special interest groups are doing what they can by peddling influence online where there's the most traffic, which typically is the social media sites. And so it is that it makes sense that they're just so toxic for the most part, these social media sites. There's just a bunch of people arguing, a bunch of people bringing to the table the most controversial thing that they know is going to make somebody angry. And just really out there stuff that is just meant to rile people up and get people confused, gaslighting, everything, all sorts of whatever sows the seeds of confusion and division. It's out there and it's on social media and people do gobble it up. And that's why you always have to remember not to get carried away in social media land. And when you see something there, when you see people posting stuff, just don't take any of that junk personally, because first of all, you don't know who it is on the other end. You do not. You don't know what the motivation is for putting it out there. And there's just so much division and confusion. We don't need any more of that. And this whole culture war thing just feeds right into that, is that you divide and conquer. It's just that simple. And we seem to be doing a good job defeating ourselves. To whose end, I don't know exactly. But anybody who would like to see that happen is happy. I'm sure happy to see how at each other's throats we are now. How easily riled up we are. Because it's not tough. It doesn't take much. And I don't know, to me, it just seems like so often we're just taking the bait. And I don't want to do that. I want to always remind myself to remember that. And remind yourself of the social media trap, the trap of social media. And I mean, this kind of wheels back around to alternative independent media. And I mean, over the years, I found it fascinating to see the involvement of different, like, alternative sorts of voices that not only turned more and more towards social media, but that came from up out of social media and promoted themselves first on social media to become a voice for whatever, right-wing, left-wing, extreme fringe concepts that whoever it is touting. They use social media absolutely to get more attention to themselves and to their cause, whatever that is. And first of all, one of the big problems with that, as I see it, is that anybody who is out there legitimately trying to make a difference and trying to, you know, change the world for the better through making online media online commentary, online social commentary, and who's like aggressively using social media to promote that effort is very much at the running the risk of being being taken advantage of by anybody who comes in feeding them stuff. Like, so if you're out there railing against tyranny, whatever that means to you, somebody can just, whether it be like another user on social media, or if it's like just a big trend that came out of nowhere, and then you start talking about it and giving your opinion on it, again, probably a, whatever aspect of the culture war is the latest, it's easy to just, you know, suggest things to these people and get them all riled up and focusing on whatever it is. It could be something that's completely just BS and just made up to get everybody mad. It could be something that simple, or it could be something even worse than that. It could be misinformation placed on there with the hope that it will spread around to, you know, contaminate things, contaminate minds to whatever end it may be. So, again, no end of devious things that can happen. I have no doubt that this stuff is just littered throughout social media. And I also have no doubt that people making material, again, people who have legitimate motivations in making this stuff can be taken advantage of. So I mean, that's one thing where I try to kind of take it easy on social media. And I'm sure I've been taken advantage of to one degree or another myself. I'm sure, because I'm on there. I'm on social media. So you're not immune from it. You're in there. You're in that world. But some people just go gung-ho with the social media thing, and I just see it as a major problem. And it doesn't, this side of it doesn't get discussed nearly enough. Because people get, whenever it does, whenever the topic of misinformation comes up, it always seems, it's in this accusatory way of like, oh, this person's spreading disinformation, now they're a problem. So, and it may be a person that's not knowingly doing this. They may actually be doing that, spreading disinformation, misinformation, but they don't think they're doing that. They're not consciously aware that that's what they're doing. They're being taken advantage of by somebody else who just put that stuff out there, knowing that they would pick it up and run with it. Because it's, quite frankly, pretty easy to tailor make this material to, you know, people online in this way. Not every, you tell them what they want to hear. And then if it sounds good, they'll just repeat it. And that's happening all the time. And I just always wonder how much of that is, you know, basically like mind war campaigns against everybody. And who all is doing that and to what end. And I get the feeling it's a lot of different entities and to a lot of different ends. And then that's part of the reason why it's such just a cluster mess on there on social media. It's, you look at it like, ugh, what is going on here? And why is anybody actually interested in this? And yes, over the years, people were more like, because people would always, you always justify it, like, well, I have to use social media because that's the battleground now. It's like, is it? And what does that mean? What battleground and whose battle? And do you really know what you're doing on there? And is it really worth it? I mean, yes, you are going to promote yourself on social media. I get it. But at what cost? And how long does it take for you to completely lose yourself on there and not even be thinking about these things at all? Not even be worried and just get completely carried away with it. Just be like, oh, yeah. And believe, and then you get all caught up in this thing that you believe is your cause, never realizing how you ended up getting there, you've been manipulated yourself. And then, I mean, it just seems like the rise of so much of these more intense views and the mainstreaming of fringe ideas more and more has come out of this process for sure. And then that's a huge problem because you are making yourself into the enemy, and you are giving credence to the establishment's line, which is we have to combat misinformation and disinformation online because it's becoming dangerous. You know, somebody who is of an alternative opinion would want to retort and answer to that and be adversarial to that opinion, be like, no, you're the ones that are the misinformation, disinformation. You're trying to stop us from spreading the truth. But what's happening is that we have been spreading all this garbage and lies and misinformation and disinformation and doing it in the name of, you know, truth, justice, fighting tyranny, blah, 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 fighting for the republic, whatever your little whatever it is you say you're doing, what you're actually doing is spreading disinformation and misinformation. And eventually, yes, it becomes dangerous because people become so wrapped up in this insanity that, again, you find somebody – you see sheriffs pulling over sovereign citizens on the side of the road in Yucca Valley and pulling a bomb out of their car, you know? And so this feeds into what I was talking about last week, and it builds on that, is that absolutely the digital sphere has not just something to do with this. I want to say everything to do with it, but it's more than that. Certainly, we are being manipulated all over the place. And so all of this passion and intensity that people feel for all these different issues that may or may not be really as important as so many of us believe they are, I just think it's important for us to keep all this stuff in perspective and not get carried away, especially when it's this divisive stuff. It's not going to help. And we are making ourselves into the problem. We started out trying to solve a problem and point out these different issues like, hey, look, we're getting there is such a thing as disinformation, misinformation directed at the public, and the establishment's doing it. Instead of being, you know, guardians and watchdogs and trying to call that stuff out, we're getting wrapped up in it all. And then just repackaging all of this stuff ourselves and not realizing that that's what we're doing. And so, so it is that War on Terror 2.0 can be carried out on us, against us, and that we will gladly take part in not all everybody, but certain people will gladly play the part of the bad guy in this, the part of the terrorist. And I find it fascinating the 180 degree changes in opinion in so many things in the alternative realm, because it feeds right into this. And yeah, a lot of disturbing stuff popping up over the years. Lot of different rocks to turn over when it comes to all of this. Lots of people benefiting from it. Lots of hidden agendas. Again, not just the establishment, but different dangerous countercultural groups that do exist. There are such things. Different racist, fascist groups that the accelerationists and all this insanity. Just so much going on that we have to be careful not to fall for it all. That's it. Nothing fancy. Also, another news, I'll just share this. I sent an email to Chuck about this, I think yesterday, but and I don't know what's going on, but it looks like Google doesn't like me or my website too much. I don't know if they've gone to some ends to demote me in searches, but if they haven't, I'm doing real horrible in Google searches for whatever reason. I feel like the practices I put in place with my website, while I'm no super expert in, I've done certain things where my SEO is decent, so I shouldn't be as bad as I am in the Google search, but I am. The age of transitions won't even pop up. You use DuckDuckGo, and I'm first on the very first result is my website. Do a search for age of transitions, but so yes, use DuckDuckGo. Do not ever use Google. Google is trash. You know, they wonder why China kicked them out of their country. I don't. That's all I'll say. Not that I'm going to hop a plane and go live in China. I have no interest in that, let me tell you. But, you know, we have to see things for what they are. And, yeah, as we sit here destroying ourselves in the culture war online and loving every minute of it, at least some of us seem to be, just remember that we're setting the precedent to take the internet in its dangerous current form away from us completely, which is a issue for so many people who claim to be fighting for internet freedom are actually shooting themselves in the foot and setting things up so that our internet freedom can be taken away because of actual horrible outcomes that have derived from the digital sphere, because we've believed the BS that somebody has told us, and then we've gone and done something idiotic because we believe nonsense that is misinformation, disinformation. So, you know, just stop shooting yourselves in the foot. That would be nice. I know there's nothing I can do to stop this process. It's well underway. But I'm just saying. I'm just talking. Nobody listens to me anyway, so it doesn't matter. I don't fault them for that. I'm just speaking. That's all I'm doing. Nothing fancy. So this is The Age of Transitions. My website is theageoftransitions.com. Keep listening to the Ocelli Radio Network here live on Friday night, and the show will become Uncle the Podcast, Uncle the Broadcast right now. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. My name is Aaron Franz, and as always, I will leave you by saying, Seeker, seek on.
The Age of Transitions.
Support Chuck Ocelli at Ocelli.com.
There's no money in it, so
yeah,
that's the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And you know, some people would say that, look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model too. And look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain, okay? Because people want to support you, they love you to death, but honestly,
so if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show, and I want you to do this too, because you know, the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, you know, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply. Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started.
WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real Eckert on the JFK assassination spoken to her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Chili.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Warning, 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 warning.
This is a Mercy broadcast. Code Red, Code Red, Code Red, here we are. Pick up your iPads, your cell phones, and hand me and listen to Uncle the Podcast. Watch out. If you're sitting down for this, or if you're standing up, you better get ready for this, because it's going to hit the eardrums. Uncle the Podcast.
You are listening to Uncle the Broadcast. My name's Aaron. I'm the nephew-in-law. Here with me is the star of the show, Uncle.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is comedy hour, people. This is comedy hour. No more of that love stuff he had. This is comedy hour.
Nothing serious as far as the eye can see, Uncle.
No, this is the 269.
I think 68.
Yeah, oh, yeah, sure. About that.
Yeah, pretty sure about that, yeah. So, yeah, we're live, as always, Friday night at chili.com. Thank you for being here. You can call in if you want. Call-in number is 319-527-5016. You can come on the show with us. We would love to have you.
Okay. Come on, Eddie. You're being called. Oh yeah. Let's go.
You're hoping that Ed might call in.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I saw him in the chat room, the Ocelli.com chat room.
Oh, he's in the chat. Oh, in the chat room. Nobody's on the phone.
No, not at the moment. Didn't get any calls in my hour either.
That's what I heard. That's what I understood. I heard that didn't get anybody.
I did not.
All I need is one. Well, I know what Ocelli did, but you only zero. I can go one and I win. Depending on what he had, though. I don't know.
Indeed, indeed. And, of course, live on Ocelli.com, but we also have the live stream videos. So if anybody is listening on a Friday night, ever check out our Twitch, check out our YouTube. Also, the
I only got three. I only got three during my hour, Uncle, just so you know.
Oh, three.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's easy to beat.
It's a slow night for calls for whatever reason.
But
I don't know what's going on tonight. People are – well, it's a holiday weekend, right?
So yes. Yeah, that could be another reason.
Yeah, people.
Holiday weekend,
yeah.
And people. Hey, did you hear the airplane project? Airplane project. They cannot. They drive. They having problems with gas.
Oh.
And they're still going out, riding around.
Commercial.
Yeah. Well, come on, airlines having trouble, and adding that to the cars that's already out there, that got the same problem.
Yeah, travel problems, a lot of canceled flights.
Canceled flights? Oh, boy. That's another part. They have a load of them. Load of them in. Say you want to go somewhere, be lucky if you can get in the air.
You will be lucky.
That's what I just said.
You very much will.
There's your Alex.
I'm going to try to pull up the live stream of LAX.
I see it right there. I see it right there.
So, yeah, we're talking
about. It's cloudy a little bit.
We're talking about problems with the commercial flights. So here's LAX. As you can see, it looks barren. I don't see any flights taking off right now.
Now it looks like it's not. It's ground leveled. It's ground leveled. It's ground leveled. Nobody's moving.
I see all these cars in the foreground. Oh, wait, there's a plane taking off. So that plane somehow made it through.
I don't know how he got out.
There's one of very few commercial flights in the air right now we're witnessing. Live.
Witnessing one. All right. You see one going off.
There it goes, Uncle.
Wow.
Fascinating. There's another plane taxiing. I don't know if it's going to take off, though.
Taxiing out.
It might be taxiing right back in because they're not allowed to go anywhere. I mean, who knows?
They're not allowed to go nowhere.
Maybe. But yeah, anyway, I think I'm going to keep up the LAX on the live stream for now because why not? It's topical. I'll do that for
now. Well, it's due now unless we have nobody yet. No, I do. That's all.
But again, you may call in 319-527-5016.
It's the Comedy Hour Show. Now, all right, there you got the chat room going nuts with the net tennis courts banging back and forth. I hear them.
We've got a different angle on your video, Uncle. So I changed the video camera. That
what is this thing?
That thing is always the camera that you're on.
I never even noticed it.
I changed its position. You never noticed it before. The tripod that I set up, it's usually standing upright.
It was standing up. Why is it down this way?
I switched it up.
Oh no!
To do a different angle, and again, we've got a new setup in here. So just seeing how it works, you know, seeing what it looks like, how it works. We'll see if we like it or we don't. I don't know. Wait, nobody's on the live stream chat either. Usually somebody gets in the chat room about now. I'm thinking this is the holiday weekend effect, Uncle.
I don't think – the reason I think you haven't gotten any calls, that's the reason. Holiday weekend.
Yeah, wow.
People not want to talk possibly.
They're not here. This is crazy. I mean, the numbers are not good either. Let me tell you.
Numbers don't look good. When they don't look good, we ain't going to get them. I mean, it's just simple as that. When it would, if it wasn't the Hump Day weekend and it was something different, oh, they'll be showing. I'm sure they would be showing. But no.
Hey, we got live cam footage of LAX runway. What else do we need? I mean, yeah. What do people want from a live stream video? That's what I'm asking.
Oh, welcome, Henry.
We've got LAX runway live stream footage from live cam, and we've got our commentary on top of it. Oh, wait, we've got chat action in Twitch. We've got Count Pupper has made it to the scene. He says, I'll watch on YouTube, Twitch, and through Chuck to boost those numbers tonight. Thank you, Count. We appreciate your effort there.
He's going to pop up a telephone call?
He's
the Count?
He's boosting our ratings, Uncle.
Well, let's get the let him on the phone. Hello?
Yes, Count, you are welcome to call in.
Call in.
We've talked to you before. We'd love to have you again if you're so inclined. You know the number, 319-527-5016. Also, Skype works. If anybody wants to come on through Skype, message Chuck. He is Charles Dottorcelli. Type him a message and he'll bring you on. Or 319-527-5016 is the call-in number.
And you only have one listener outside of the country on the Ocelli stream, which is in Edmonton in Canada, which is a little odd, but Edmonton.
Oh.
And shout out Edmonton, and also shout out to Franklinville, New Jersey. So with that, I'll be quiet now.
Now there's another surprise. Not many people listening either. Well, maybe they just don't want to talk or even listen. Who knows?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm not worried about it. I'm glad to be here. I feel good. It's good that the week is over. 3-day weekend. It's good. I'm feeling good about this.
Oh,
a lot of good things happening. So I'm just rolling with it. I'm just enjoying being here as always. It's cool too. Uncle, what do you think about the podcast scene these days and live broadcasting? How are you feeling about just that?
I like that. Just plain and simple. Much better than just sitting here looking at ourselves and not seeing other people and other things on there. It sounds interesting.
It's a cool thing to do, huh?
Yeah.
Count Pupper saying that everybody's watching Stranger Things.
Oh, they are?
Maybe.
Stranger Things?
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I just got finished with it, people.
Oh, you just to the all the way to the stoppage?
To the end.
To the end. Oh, man. Okay.
So I know all of the, I know that whole show, people.
So the show is over? Was that the end of the show? Or is there
the
another
end
season?
Of the show. Well, they didn't say another season.
Yeah, there's always another season.
If there's another season, it will probably come up, but they haven't said anything. If it is, hopefully it might be a newer one. But
did it seem like an actual ending? Did it seem like something actually ended?
Actually, on that ending, now that everybody have they seen it? Now that I'm talking to those people that are seeing it, explaining
you're
it.
You're saying spoiler alert is what you're saying.
Yeah, right, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Uh-huh. But I'm not saying it of the people who haven't seen it. But what I'm hearing is when Count or whoever was talking about they're probably watching it, it's not. I thought it would be a little longer. The end.
You thought the series would last longer? Is that what you said?
I thought it would be a little longer than it ended. But that's really weird how it ended.
It seemed like a weird ending. So to me, that leads me to believe that the series is not ended and that it's just another one of these silly cliffhangers and they come back next season to pick up wherever the story happened. The storyline will keep going to where, I don't know.
They showed it where it ended and then started. Then I saw how it ended and when it started up on this one. But you might be right about in time they'll probably come back to it, saying there might be another episode. But there were only four that I've known. there were four episodes.
Four episodes in the season?
In the season, so now. Unless they're going to make an extra, what, three more? I don't know. It depends on the people that make them.
Count's asking, did Uncle watch the new episodes that came out today?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
I know.
That's the ones I'm talking about.
You sure did.
Yeah, I watched it. I was watching it before I was coming on the show, before we were going to have this tonight. Because they were saying July the 1st. Okay, so I was excited because I wanted to see it, of course, how it began back. So I did, and it didn't surprise me.
The ending.
The ending
surprise.
Wasn't
that surprising.
Wasn't that surprising.
You saw it coming?
I saw it coming. The ending. Because, let's see, when did I start that? It was earlier today.
Earlier today?
I started it thinking that it might be a little longer, but...
Pupper's saying that you're on it, Uncle.
What?
You hop... When those new... episodes drop, you start watching them.
Yes, I told you, when I watch a show, I watch it, all of it. Even your wife knows that.
She knows that, yeah.
She knows that.
Sure does, yeah.
But I'm not going to say nothing else about it, because if she hasn't seen it...
A lot of people haven't seen it.
I'm not going to say anything.
You know, I'm looking over the stream a little more. I just wanted to tell you guys, you got a lot of listeners in Washington for the Uncle Show. Seattle...
Washington.
Yeah, Seattle,
really?
Gig Harbor, Renton, Seattle.
They might be listening then.
They might be.
They might be, because they're in Seattle.
Yeah, are they listening to us, Uncle?
Yeah, they might be. I shouldn't be saying
that. We know who's in Seattle.
I think I know who Seattle called for.
We believe we know.
Well, there's
Seattle. If you want to call, you can call.
More than one in Seattle. Yeah, you can call. More than one in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well,
interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting.
There's actually four in Seattle.
Four.
Yeah. How do we get four out of that?
They're spreading the word for us, Uncle.
They're
spreading the word in Seattle, and we're getting the Seattle listeners now.
We haven't talked to the street team lately. I guess your street team is active in Seattle, and we don't even know about it.
They are.
Oh, the street team is back.
Street team is up there. I'm going to hit the streets.
Street team.
You forgot about that.
I forgot all about the street team.
Street team's always at work, Uncle.
I knew. And a shout out to those today. Remind me.
We'll give them another shout out
to them for a while, because I forgot all about them. Yeah. And it's true. And it is true. We've been so damn busy talking.
We didn't mean to forget you. We appreciate everything that you do for the show.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just,
I lose track.
Your signal just went so weak, Aaron, that you disappeared there for a couple of seconds. I just want you to know.
Yours did. His did.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you both.
You had a button here. No.
You both disappeared because of the signal went weak there for a minute. You got it. Yeah, you're going to definitely have to do something with the Ethernet over there. Because your Wi-Fi
on his end.
Well, yeah, your Wi-Fi is...
Internet
issues in this room?
I think so.
Yeah, a little bit.
Let's hurry up and get the house.
I might be able to run a cable all the way. I just got to get a long enough cable and run it all the way over here.
Gonna need
Could
extra,
you do that?
Extra long Ethernet cable. They make
them. They might have to throw it over here.
Yeah, they do make them.
So. When they get through?
They got those, Chuck?
They do make them.
They do?
I bought a 100-foot one.
What do they do?
2 years ago, I bought a 100-foot Ethernet cable.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you have to do it then, because if this is the problem.
Could be.
I think because
that over there.
I think I found it on Amazon, by the way, just so you know. It was on Amazon.
Checking on Amazon.
Yeah, we like being in this room overall, don't we?
Yeah, it's better in this room because it takes away... From their room, that they got their own room, and that island, like, actually where it actually was. Meant to tell you, I'd rather with telephone call.
Oh, we got a call, Uncle.
Hold it. Take that back.
We better take this call.
I'm going to take the call. Who's this on the telephone? Hello?
Caller, Jimmy James.
Johnny. What did I get? What did I get? I knew Jimmy James calls for the number one pick.
There we go, number one.
First pick, Tom. I beat him. I beat Sidekick.
Thank you for calling, Jimmy.
Jimmy, you did it.
Great to have you.
You beat
Sidekick. Well, I wasn't going to let you get... I wouldn't let you get stopped.
Well, I need two more and I'll beat you up.
Oh, wait. The plot is thickening here. I don't know what to make of this, but Creative what? Accidents made it to the Twitch chat.
Oh, he did?
And he's saying, hey, guys, I wrote a bunch of messages, but none showed up.
Where, on you?
I guess on Twitch previously, but they weren't showing up. So I don't know, Uncle. I think the internet gods are out to foil us, and mess with our numbers and our viewership.
Oh, right. That stops it then. People just stop. Stop playing with my internet.
Uh-oh.
Stop goofing around with our internet connection.
Uncle, stop playing with that internet.
Who did you anger, Uncle? You angered somebody. They're mad at you.
What is Crazy Accidents thing? It's starting to get me wound up already. Crazy Action better get on the telephone right now.
I'm getting
aggravated with him.
You get aggravated with Creative Accidents?
I want him on the radio on talking.
Well, he's helping us out with these comments. He's saying that they weren't getting through, so something's going on. So he's giving us some sort of valuable feedback here. I don't know what to make of it yet, but it's valuable accident, nonetheless.
We need you to make telephonical communications to Uncle. Telephonic only, please. Please call in. Transmissions are not working.
Oh, here we go. So he's sending me an image here. He sent me an image. Let's see here. Live on air. The action cannot be completed. Please try again later. It looks like he's trying to. He's just trying to chat, and it wouldn't allow him to do it. From the looks of it,
chat.
Yeah. He's saying I sent it to you on Skype. I see that Creative Accent. So apparently, he's just trying to use the chat room as he does, but it wasn't working. So we're having several technical difficulties all at the same time.
That's why he said he should get on the phone. He might get somewhere.
Well, I've never even heard of this Twitch. Other than you
it's
guys.
Twitch.
Twitch? How come you don't use that one? Don Pacino used it. Everyone's using it. Even that comedian switched to a Rogan.
Uh-oh. Twitch, you mean? Twitch. Or Spotify?
Spotify? Maybe. Spotify.
None of the above. Rumble.
Yeah, Rumble. Yeah, that's. Rumble. Rumble's a more conservative video platform. Yeah.
Who's
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it. Okay, and they do live
stream. Anyone could be on there and no one will be canceled.
That's what they say, yeah. Rockfin also, by the way.
Rockfin?
You know what would be a fun experiment is go on there and Rockfin.
All right, Rockfin.
Yeah.
Hello. Turn on Rockfin. Hello, Rockfin?
Yeah. I know I've heard of Rockfin.
You still have to be invited. Yeah, you still have to be invited to be on Rockfin.
Rockfin.
Tim Pool and a bunch of other people are on there, like, you know, some of the bigger alt media guys.
Okay.
And actually, the Ocelli Radio Network is invited, and we have a setup, but we just haven't gone to it yet because I'm hoping to be able to.
We better get working on it.
Well, I'm hoping to be able to integrate you guys into that as well so that, you know, we can carry Uncle and Aaron's show on Rockfin also for live broadcasts. Mm-hmm. But you got to use StreamYard to do that. I don't know if you guys use StreamYard.
No, I don't know.
What is a StreamYard?
We use OBS for the live stream.
Yeah.
That's his business stuff. I don't know.
You following this, Uncle?
Yeah, it's getting confusing right now.
You might be able to just plug into my Rockfin account and just do it yourself, which would be fine by me. But at some point, we got to figure out how to integrate a camera from me into this, too.
We got to do a lot of the live stream tech side things at one of these points, Uncle. There's a lot that you can do, but you got to work at it.
I got a weird request from a lady listener of the Uncle Show, who I never heard of before, in an email, and she says that one night she wants you guys to do the gaming stream on the Uncle Show.
game.
Oh, like on a Friday night, do the gaming thing. But oh, make you it mean an episode of the podcast?
Yes, episode of the podcast. Oh.
You know who I think that is?
No, who I'll might
get,
that be?
I'll get her name.
The one that we saw in 2 weeks came and then stalked for a while.
Oh, she was from Spain.
Spain. No, the lady in Spain.
Yeah, no, it's not her. Nope. No, it's not her. She's from, let me see if I can figure out where. Actually, I don't know where she's from exactly, but she's. I don't believe she's from Spain. Her name is Betty. So I don't know where Betty's from.
Well, I like the suggestion.
Betty White. Yeah. She lives in Florida.
No, right. It's not. Oh. I don't think it's Betty White. I'm not going to give out her last name because I never do that, but her name is Betty.
No.
And she's actually kind of new to the show.
Betty Davis.
No.
Will you stop guessing here?
He's guessing on famous
Jimmy, stop guessing, will you? Because she might just pop up then. Who knows?
I got the email. Okay, I got the email. What? She can't call in. She cannot call in because she works on Friday nights, but... She always tries to watch one of the streams, YouTube. She tries to watch on YouTube off and on while she's at work, and she was requesting that you guys YouTube. Do a game stream as part of the Friday night show. She also wanted to see if I don't think it's logistically possible. She wanted to see if we could play a game like James Bond.
Oh. Do you have one? Do you have that? Not on Instagram.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not on our games.
Yeah, I don't know if we could do that where the three of us could play at one time. I don't think we could do that.
Oh, yeah, no, not at one time, I don't think. No. You can't do the...
You got to have it style game. Maybe two people.
Yeah, we could make it so that you and I played that game here.
We could play it here.
But everybody would have to be playing here at this computer.
Yeah, you guys could do it, but it's a split screen thing. She was thinking that we could put, you know, because they have up to four players on the multiplayer on GoldenEye.
Mm-hmm.
That we could
at least I got one thing that's interesting. At least we...
Yeah. No, I'm just telling you what she's suggesting.
That's a super...
Nintendo 64.
The GoldenEye one, yeah.
Yeah, it's a Nintendo 64 game, which I think Aaron has access to some of the Nintendo 64 games, but if he's going to play multiplayer, I think it would just be him, Uncle, and whoever he can get in the room there. So,
but, yep. Yeah, that's right, Chuck. Yeah.
Yeah, but I totally forgot about this until you guys started talking about the live streams, and then I remembered. Yeah, Betty. So, and she said that to me last week.
Mm-hmm. That's a good suggestion, and I like it, and maybe we'll do it.
If we, let's say, I got an idea.
What is it, Jimmy?
You know, the only thing I
go ahead, Uncle.
I'm sorry, the only thing I had a weird idea about regarding...
I was just going to say the only problem with Apple is that, like, on Windows, that wouldn't be a problem, because there's all kinds of, like, programs people write for it. Everything's got a hack. But Apple, you're pretty limited.
Right. We've also added Arcadia.
Oh, I see.
Arcadia Australia has now come on the live stream, so now you have Australia and Canada as your foreign listeners. The only thing I was thinking of was, you know, a while back, I had this idea about us playing an Ocelli Radio Network poker table, like we all could go to a virtual poker table. And, you know, play together somewhere. I had that idea a while ago, but nobody got really on board with it.
I wouldn't mind that. That's feel cool, like a playing game of cards.
Yeah.
There's probably some sort of online game that we could all play and then also
stream it. Right?
Make that into a stream. Yeah, it's definitely possible.
Let's look into that, sidekick. Get something else to look into. Something else to look into.
Just an idea, yeah. So from Betty J, Betty J, I'll say, Betty J, thank you for the suggestion, and I just read it on the air, so now you'll hear it. Okay.
Yeah. Also, I will say, I don't know if Betty's seen any of the previous game streams, but they are on the YouTube channel.
So yeah, they are on the YouTube
channel. If she hasn't watched them, just go down through the YouTube channel and watch some of the past ones.
Go through them. You'll see them.
It might be that her suggestion was that she wants to us to do that on the live show, which would be cool on Friday night. We could do that, too.
Yeah, no, it seems to me as though she's aware of the games, because otherwise why would she bring it up? She wants to – because she says the Saturday game, do it on a Friday night is what she says. So she must have checked out the Saturday games.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. I think if it's a slow night, maybe we'll think about that. No.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely, yeah, I'm into it. I would
do
yeah,
something can, like that.
I love playing the games.
We'll burn some hours on that.
I've thought about doing more gaming streams, even like maybe me solo playing old games that I used to like and just like chit-chatting away while I play them and stuff like that. And doing more of you and I playing is always fun too, that. And so, yeah, I love doing the gaming streams. It's just a matter, honestly, of time for us.
Yeah.
What's up, Jimmy?
What do you play chess?
Wait, what is it?
You play chess?
Oh, chess? I mean, I've played chess. I wouldn't say I play chess, but I've played it. Yeah, why do you ask?
So you're not good. Anyone good at it? That's something you can do online, too. I know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that could be fun. I could see how that would be fun on one of them. Yeah. I mean, I know how to play, so I could. You play chess too, Uncle?
Yeah, but it
wouldn't be fun for me unless someone's really good and can like kick my butt or something.
Yeah,
nah, probably not me.
You're not that good yet.
Have you and Uncle tried any of the like crazy Star Trek games, like where you get your own ship and you can actually fly around in the universe with other players? Have you guys tried stuff like that?
No. Not is that one of those MMO games too?
Yeah, but this one's more like, you know, you sign up and then you're in that, you know, universe or whatever. So theoretically, we could get the listeners have their own ships. We could have our own ships if we all signed up and went into something like that together. I think they have pirate games like that too where
I'll just say briefly that for Jimmy's edification that this is very Twitch what we're discussing. It's people this sort of thing is what Twitch is all about. It's like the gaming thing. And I've seen guys that have their own show where they're like, yeah, listeners, we're all going to play this game tonight. And they're all going to chat room and all play the same game at the same time. The host will do some other stuff and it'll kind of be like the director of the thing. So Twitch is very much about the gaming.
I think they play that game Among Us or whatever, right, on there a lot. Among Us, where it's like a hide and seek kind of thing.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Among Us is huge. And yeah, there's definitely Among Us is like a whole category on Twitch. They have categories for different games. It's like there's an Among Us category. There's also that Hello Neighbor. Call of Duty or whatever and stuff like that.
Call of Duty, I mean, PewDiePie did that.
So
I
didn't realize it was more of I thought it was more like YouTube. So that makes more sense to me, yeah.
Well, it is like YouTube in that it's a video platform and you can also just watch the streams later, but it's more oriented toward the games and the live streams than YouTube is. So it's a lot of gamers have gravitated toward it. I've also watched some Twitch videos of that Hello Neighbor game where they have an augmented version of it where you're all characters from the Hello Neighbor game and you're all trying to figure out who the bad guy is. And it's like you're playing hide and seek and there's different goals that happen, like you got to find different items and this kind of thing within the landscape of the game. And I've seen some of these gamer channels do that with some of their listeners, where they pick a handful of listeners and they all play like hide and seek against each other. So I don't know. I don't know if you guys want to get all into that, but I mean, I'm just saying the possibilities are there.
There's a lot going on in Twitch, and I get it. I get why people like it, and it can be engaging. Creative Accidents is saying, I like the goth tractor girl. I'm not sure who that is, but
Tractical.
Sounds interesting.
What the heck is he at?
I'm not sure if she's on Twitch or what.
I've never seen what it's in the tractor girl.
I mean, doing the live streams is a lot of fun. I love doing this live stream. And doing the streams on the games is a lot of fun. And I could see how if you make it interactive with the listeners playing the same game, how that would be really cool. So, I mean, I get it. I understand it. And again, all these live streaming platforms really, there's a lot creatively that could be done. And I think there's more interesting creative things that people will start doing with live streams that in the future. I think there's a lot of stuff in the future when it comes to that. So it's cool. I like live streaming. You like it, Uncle? Is it a good thing we're doing or not?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. But for me, I'm trying to play them. The problem is getting the plane right.
The game.
I'm getting knocked out sometime with these games. Oh, I mean, you're inexperienced trying to learn how to play the game, and I'm trying to listening and looking and trying to find out how to play them. I got that problem knowing how to play them. Uh-huh. Let me learn how to play them first before we get into the action.
Yeah, yeah, it can be tough if you're learning for the first time. So
that's what I meant.
With the uncle gaming thing, I'm trying to get you up to speed and see what you can do, and hopefully not get overly frustrated with whatever game it is. And so that's what that's.
What is it do. Like? We were in a, for example, we were in a game with saving people in the army, and we're trying to pull these guys, and I'm trying to figure out, all right, how do we get over there? And I'm and these things are shooting back.
Yeah, that was the Nintendo game Jackal.
The Jackal.
That's
the Jackal.
That's what you're describing.
I'm describing Jackal. The Jackal.
Aaron, the most fun army game in the world in my mind, the only ones I like. I bet Uncle would like them. Remember those army men? And the best one was Sarge's Heroes, where you're like, you know, army men from when you're little kids only on this game. They're alive and they're, like, doing stuff.
I remember that. What platform was it? Was it, like, Super Nintendo or something?
What Nintendo?
I think I played them on PS2. Or maybe even PS1 and then to PS2.
Okay.
Who is this?
I remember them being around, but I never played one. I could see it being cool. What kind of game is it? Like, what do you do with the
game?
Army men? How's that work?
It's just like a war game. It's really fun. It's fun. You're facing threats just like any other war game. For one thing, there's mission. There's a rotten kid with a magnifying glass. And then another mission, there's giant insects. Because you remember, you're a little tiny army guy. You're facing a cat. There's all kinds of evil things you got to take care of.
Interesting.
Not to mention, we always dreaded tan guys, because that's your hostile forces there. Cause you're
the green versus the tan. Yeah, got it.
Green guys. Yeah, we were running around. That was it. We had the colors on that game, Jackal. When we were running around looking at
it was green and tan and Jackal.
Green and
too.
Tackle and Jackal. Yeah. And Jackal.
The cheap colors. The green and like color. Brown. Yeah, it's similar. But yeah.
Similar.
Those little army toys are those colors, the green and the tan. And I remember that game being around. We'll have to see. I might be able to find it on the thing that we use for the stream. So I'll have to give that a look and see if I can pull that one up.
Let's look for some games on this thing that we haven't played yet. And
yeah, there's always more to get. There's a ton that we could get on there. So, and there's a few that we haven't live streamed that we have.
They'll crack you up, Aaron. Like that. So, like they all got their personalities. Sarge's Heroes, of course, he's like big time into war. And at one point, he was shooting up something, I don't know, an insect, and he started laughing maniacally. That's funny. Wow, he's smoking a cigar.
Smoking a cigar.
It's probably partially inspired by the army men from Toy Story. You know how the army men come
out. Toy
Story? Yeah.
Ow, what are you doing?
Here, these are backwards.
Oh.
We just got a comment from Creative Accidents saying that he couldn't see the logo on your things. It's just because they were backwards. They're good now.
But who said that?
I think it was Creative Accidents.
I don't know. I must
have. They're crazy. Just so we have a call.
We have a caller on this line. This is number 2.
It is.
All right. Caller, who are you and where are you calling from?
My name is Chris Graves. I'm coming from Massachusetts.
Chris, what's up, man? Glad to have you. Thanks for calling in.
How are you doing?
Okay. Good.
What's on your mind? It's an honor. I've never been on this this particular program before. It's kind of exciting.
Oh, so you're a new customer.
New customer, Uncle.
Hey, look at them. They're even coming to me now. My customers are coming to me.
Uncle, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Uncle. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, go ahead.
All right. I just had a question. I didn't know if have you ever had any experience playing the video games from the 80s that were based on, like, food characters? Like, I know they had one for 7-Up, the Spot character.
Oh,
they had
they actually had the
Domino's Noid. Yeah, me neither.
The most famous one would be Burger Time, right? Burger Time would be the most famous one.
I'm not even talking about that. They had like a Ronald McDonald game. They had a Domino's Noid game. They had a
they were actual intellectual property.
What you're talking about, Chris, was early CD-ROMs that restaurants gave out in the early days of when PC and took off in the 90s.
Well,
the
NES.
The ones I had was the NES.
Yeah,
they
the NES.
Literally licensed the game.
Yeah, I was going to say the NES had that 7-Up Spot game, and it's very rare. It's hard to find. And it has been for years.
Yeah, you have it.
We have that game on our computer system, the 7-Up Spot one. I remember that I rented that one from a video place and played it when I was a kid.
We do?
And we have it. Uncle and I can do a live stream playing it.
I don't think we played it yet, though.
The cool spot game. Yeah, we have
the Cheetos.
No, we haven't played it yet.
We haven't played it, though. We haven't.
Oh, yeah, like where you're Chester Cheetah or whatever.
Chester Cheetah.
Yes, yeah. And
we're
the Domino's.
Get
remember they had the Noid character? They had that game, too.
Yeah,
I don't remember these Nintendo games.
I had them, Jimmy. I'm not lying to you. I even had the McDonald's one. They had Ronald McDonald's.
Well, I do remember the 7-Up spot.
Hey, Jimmy, get with the... Jimmy, get with the program. You gotta understand what I'm in here.
I remember the 7-Up Spot.
You ever play a boy in his blob or Maniac Mansion?
I remember those.
Wasn't there a Gummy Bears game too, or Gummy Bears and M&M's at one point?
There was an M&M's game,
a Skittles game.
Yeah, I don't remember them all, but I remember some of this stuff. The 7-Up Spot, though, I remember when I was trying to retroactively get an NES game, it was like, yeah, you can buy Mario for $20, but you want the 7-Up Spot game, that's going to be like $150 for the cartridge.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it was hard to find. They didn't make many of them.
Well, no wonder the cartridge took over.
That's why
I then they had the silver cartridge, which was very rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all that.
So yeah, we're getting
that
to
would actually give you entrance into one of the tournaments. Oh, it was a collector's item too, worth like $100,000 or something.
I don't know about that.
Is there
kind of reminiscent of that movie, The Wizard, where they premiered Mario Brothers 3 with like Fred Savage and everything?
Yes.
In 89.
Yes, this is ringing a bell to me. Yeah, yeah.
Any of them have Little Monsters with Howie Mandel.
Yeah, I've seen that movie. They stop at the Cabazon dinosaurs in that movie, and they're like, "Yeah, California, we went through California." You know the dinosaurs that we went inside?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
They go there in that movie.
Oh, they do.
The same one for Pee Wee.
Same
way. Pee Wee.
Still on the side of the highway.
Same one for Pee Wee's Big Adventure, right?
Yeah.
We go out to the desert. Same we one. Go right by those things. Yeah, it's cool. It's by Morongo.
Yeah,
Casino.
It was like right after. No,
yeah,
Morongo
right Casino.
Large,
it's right next to.
Right by
the Rancho Casino.
Yeah, Cabazon Dinosaurs. They were originally put there by a guy who owned a diner. There was actually a diner there, and he built those giant concrete things to kind of attract customers off of the highway. And yeah,
I read that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Diney and Mr. Rex. And you can go up inside of Mr. Rex, the Tyrannosaurus Rex, like Pee Wee does in the movie. We did that recently.
We got in that thing, and they were sitting on the top. I looked down by the teeth, and I see people hanging out, looking up.
Yeah.
I said, well, somebody made me take
a picture. Did it have the red light on it, just like in the movie?
Yeah, it's red in there, and the eyes light up with red light bulbs. Yeah,
they did
light those up red, actually.
Yeah, and then there was another one that was green.
And they paint them different colors all the time. And in the movie, they're pink, I think, and green.
Yeah.
And when we went, they were actually pink and green, but they had the I love you heart sort of thing on for the – they paint them seasonally now these days. But it's really cool, actually, inside that. This is like 2-3 months ago that we went inside the Tyrannosaurus. It's on Instagram. We have a picture of
it. It's in Instagram. Book in Instagram. Mm-hmm, still book there. In Instagram. You'll see it.
Yeah. You can't tell what it is on Instagram because Uncle's literally inside it. But what it is, it's like this red room. Which it's crazy. It's insane inside these things. I was impressed actually by it because it's all concrete. There's a lot of rebar all over the place.
Yeah, rebar. It's like you're in a prison cell. I mean, I was looking at it for a minute. I was having a discussion to myself. Why in the world do they have it barred like that if the teeth can't fit the mouth? You know, how they go into the biting when somebody.
Oh, like Jaws?
But they got the, like Jaws, but they got the bar.
Yeah, because there's literally, you look out the mouth of the thing like Pee-wee does in the movie. Yeah. You look out the mouth in this observation deck at the top, and they've got a little, like, cage thing so that, you know, for safety or whatever. But inside that is, like, this crazy spiral staircase that you walk up to get to the top. And it's just really weird, like, all the stairs and the concrete. And
it's like it goes
that was a part
up
of it, too.
Like,
I thought they just added that for the movie.
Well, in the movie, he's sitting there with the woman diner, and they're sitting there together kind of like having like a moment, and this it's getting dark,
and then her boyfriend, and then the boyfriend shows up, lumberjack guy comes,
he's mad and jealous,
yeah.
So that's jealous. That's how it made,
that's
it,
my boyfriend, and he's got like a bone.
He's like 7 feet tall or something.
I actually was in front of Pee-wee's house in Pasadena, California. It's still there. It doesn't have all the fun stuff in the yard, but it looks pretty much the same.
Oh, his house in that movie, the one that he lives at?
Yeah, Pee-wee's house is from the beginning when he's making the cereal and everything. It's still there.
Yeah, got it.
Oh, yeah.
It's down the street from the Back to the Future houses and the movie and the Halloween, Michael Myers house, too. It's all in Pasadena.
Oh, Michael Pasadena's house. A nice spot.
You like all that, Uncle? Cool. You like all those 80s movies?
Yeah. I listened to some of that.
You have a favorite one?
Yeah, they got. Let's see. The one with the PV Honey.
Interspace?
Yeah.
Flight of the Navigator?
He was running around. That's a good one. In a space. Yeah. That one.
Flight of the Navigator? You're
going to
Explorers, too. Well, I like the Indicator.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
That was
Beetlejuice. You must love Beetlejuice, too, right? This
movie called I Come in Peace.
Yeah, that was
Piper. No, an adult. That wasn't an adult thing, was it? Was that an adult?
I'm not sure. They're going crazy in the Twitch chat. Creative Accents is insisting that you watch some Terminator deep fake video, Uncle. So we'll have to watch that.
What is that?
It's a deep fake video.
You're
going to
watch
Sylvester Stallone.
It'll change your life.
Chud, yes, yeah.
Where is this on?
Cannibalistic humanoid underground dweller.
Where do they have this on?
Exactly. You know your stuff, sir.
Yeah, I know. I like to know where they have this on. I'm trying to find where they're on. Are they on?
It's like my 12-year-old birthday party all over again.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like I'm having the same problem with Sidekick here. Well, he don't know what he's talking about. I'm trying to find out.
How about this, Chris? Have you ever watched Troll 2?
Troll 2. Oh.
Yeah, it's one of the worst movies ever made, and it's directed by John Carl Beekler. Rest in peace.
Oh, not that many people know this, but I alone possess Troll 1. I'm waiting to sell it.
Possess?
Troll 1. I like Troll 1.
What do you mean? Of the master,
trying to sell?
Master,
what are you selling?
Like
the studio? Put it this way. Try to find Troll 1.
Yeah, I know. I've heard the scavenger hunts, yeah.
You won't find it.
Here? You know
what? They're trying to find Cellar Dweller, and no one will give that up either.
We actually had a copy on Laser.
He don't know. These guys are talking about something. You can't get in the way with these.
I know, and the killer ice cream movie, The Stuff, that'll change your life too, and your dessert.
Count Pupper is insisting that Cellar Dweller sucks.
Something I was watching there, the ice cream.
It does. Oh, it really does.
It was the witches. It was the witches. I was looking.
Oh, this is the movie you like.
Witches of Eastwick, right?
The witches. They ran an ice cream, and they went into this ice cream truck.
Witches in the ice cream.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was Warlock, wasn't it? Oh, no. That's Killer Class of Outer Space. You remember that? With the cotton candy?
That's right. That's right. I thought you got mentioned.
That was a Lifetime movie. It was based on a true story, Uncle, I think.
Going into the space line. Arnold is going into the space ship.
Yeah, like inner space, and you got it. A lot of space.
Spaceship. Here we go.
Everything was from space. Well, here's a real funny story. Breaking two electric boogaloo, you know? Here's a real hilarious thing. Once I told this old lady that lived in an apartment building that I lived in because she's like goofy on drugs. So I thought, why not mess with her a little bit? Anyways, I says, yeah, did you hear about all those weird weeds growing? Some kind of crazy crap was on that satellite that crashed on Earth, and now they got all these... some kind of space weed. There's space, red space weed growing everywhere, and it's killing all the plants.
Oh, you're ripping up a pre-show with Stephen King.
It's not a TV show. That's my life.
Creep show. No, you just, the Stephen King segment of Creep show where Jody, he goes up to the meteor, and all of a sudden he's got all the weird fur from like outer space. And
he got the kind of weird green fur.
Jody Beryl, you lunkhead.
In the bathtub.
Jody Beryl, you lunkhead.
That's wild.
I mean, there's been better ways, I guess. Then they had the crate. Remember the Tasmanian devil in the basement? Bites Adrian Barbeau's bow off or whatever?
Yeah.
Creative Accents is saying, I want to watch Spaceballs with Uncle at the desert house and drink dollar beer and eat cactus flowers.
Cactus flowers?
We
might do that if we ever get the thing organized. Crazy Accidents.
Yeah, remember the Weird Al movie? It's UHF.
I watched that one in the theater, Spaceballs.
Spaceballs is 87. Yeah, John Candy. You got Eugene. Not Eugene. Levy. Bill Pullman.
Oh, here they go.
That's right around the timeline. That's awesome.
You like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Three Amigos came out.
Three Amigos. That was 87. You know, Sam Kinison got cut out of that movie because Chevy Chase demanded it. John Landis was pressured by Chevy Chase to cut Sam Kinison's cameo out of the movie, and it never survived, like, the footage.
Why would Chevy Chase with
the movie stuff?
Really?
Oh.
Why were they doing that?
He was supposed to be in that movie that was cursed, supposedly, a Tuck, that Farley was attached to and Belushi was, too, at one point. Even Phil Hartman was for a role.
Huh. What about the guy who left third? Went home.
Amber Turd? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that because he kept on talking and I can't figure it out. What are you talking about?
Back to the Future, Uncle?
What?
Like Marty McFly and Doc Brown? Great Scott, you remember that?
Yeah. They were saying, what were you saying? I'm talking, and you listen. And I mean, I'm listening back and forth, talking about guys, they're characters. They were characters.
Huey Lewis actually wrote the music for Ghostbusters and Back to the Future.
They did?
Oh, did he write the Ghostbusters?
Yeah, they just said that. Ray Parker Jr. ripped off I Want a New Drug by Huey Lewis, and Huey Lewis won the court case. So every time Ghostbusters is being played the song, he gets paid for it.
Oh, yeah. I did. I forgot the legal aspect. I knew that the song sounded identical. And
he won, too. And, yeah. Ray Parker actually broke the agreement, so... he actually talked about it in public because they weren't supposed to. And I think Huey even got another bonus because Ray Parker screwed up and he wasn't supposed to talk. You know what I mean, Uncle? You're not supposed to talk after that, you know?
Right. They have to have a conversation. I'll be quiet. I talk. And everybody listens.
It's crazy but to listen to the background vocals on that song. And the women are really like, Ghostbusters! And they're like really screeching away. It's like if you listen closer, they're like, man, they're really going for it here. It's like, it's a weird song.
That's like Dream Warriors from Nightmare on Elm Street 3 with Dawkins, remember? I can't do that anymore, but yeah.
I think that's a good one. Yeah. Good Dawkins.
It's not really the same at all at what you were saying, so I don't even know why I brought that up.
Same era, but we're going to
get Alice Cooper with Friday the 13th Part 6. Jason Lives.
Yeah, you're down to your last 3 minutes. So
going about to New York.
Yeah,
did you hear about going to New York,
Uncle? Why don't we do New York?
Now he's into my line about these.
Shout out! Oh, I'm sorry, Uncle. I'll stop.
I was talking about anybody seen him once when he was in when he shout outs. I'm talking about
Uncle, the show's almost over.
What's so and now we just getting started.
Well, it's almost over.
Well, I'm talking about
Jason in New York.
Jason in New York. Anybody see that? Not talking to you.
Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah, that one. Anybody seen that?
Has anybody seen
that? Jason Takes a Cruise is what it should be. Or a snooze. Until he gets to Manhattan for about 2 minutes. Yeah. Driving his daisy.
I've gone through most all of them. So I know what...
You like the one where he fought Freddy and Pinhead?
Yeah, Pinhead and Freddy. That was very interesting. He was going after that.
Oh yeah, and Chucky showed up too.
Chucky showed up, and then
Sophia from Golden Girls. Like everybody was in that.
Yeah, the Golden Girls girl. The only time to watch these movies though is when Halloween comes.
The only time.
Really. And Friday the 13th.
Yeah, Friday the 13th. Popping on
Christmas maybe. Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah.
Night before Christmas.
That one's something interesting.
Well, Uncle.
No, it's not that way.
Our website is Uncle.
It's been an honor, Uncle.
Oh, you too.
Thanks for coming on, Chris. Call
hey, Chris, you got any shout-outs?
Do I have any spinach? No, that's Popeye's territory. But you guys have a great weekend. Seriously. Take care.
All right. Yeah, we'll talk to you again, man. Take it easy.
Yeah. Talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Jimmy, do you have a quick shout-out?
Yeah, quick shout-outs. Wait a minute, Aaron. Stop with the numbers. I'm trying to talk to this guy. Jimmy, you got a shout-out?
Nothing's really coming to mind, so I'll just tell everyone have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks for calling, Jimmy. We'll talk to you again. All right, Uncle.
I got one shout-out. Now we've been talking about the street team. I'm going to shout out to the street team because they are very, very got me started. And it's no, didn't have the last call, but that's fine with me. Oh, Chucky takes the win.
Yeah, I know Creative Accents is saying shout out to Mrs. O. I know that Chuck and her lost
a couple dogs. Yeah, Crazy Accents, you disappoint me.
Oh, God.
We have this discussion we have to talk about.
We do.
No,
we
not do. You.
Not me.
Him.
Who?
Crazy Accidents.
Our website's UncleThePodcast.com. It's @UnclePodcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening live. Thank you for watching the show on Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter. And we'll see you next week. Uncle, why don't you bring us home here?
There's 2068 episode. Bye-bye.